I foolishly, I could have brought to the slideshow. I sort of have the slideshow finished.
Yep.
But it's too long. Okay. So I have to shorten it. Yep. Right. My basic argument is that the world is a terrible mess.
Hmm.
And that existing institutions are not doing anything to make it better. Nothing significant.
Hmm.
So things are just going to get worse and worse and worse unless we make some changes.
Mm-hmm.
And because things are in such a mess, we have to try something pretty desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do I say things? And then the first half of the talk is, why do I say things are in a big mess?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the percentage of people in the world who are starving or near starvation is rising and rising and rising. Mm-hmm. The percentage of people in the world who are affluent or wealthy is constant. So, relatively speaking, the desperate are becoming much more prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some charts that show that when people become either impoverished or have very high birth rates, they go to war against each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we now have something like 60 wars going on. But if things continue the way they're going, I can easily see that doubling. We'd have wars everywhere you look.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't sound to me like a very good prospect.
No. Right?
And I'm talking to you about the trends that you see in the World Bank and the United Nations figures. I'm not talking to you about some weird numbers I'm pulling out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another major trend that's going on is the conflict between nations and corporations. Generally speaking, corporations are winning. Of the 200 largest economies in the world, 130 of them are corporations, and 60 of them are nations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Corporations have lots of characteristics that make them better able to deal with problems than nations are. Nations often find themselves polarized and conflicted, and they're unable to do anything effective. And furthermore, they mainly only care about themselves.
Mm. Hey, do you mind? Sorry, I forgot this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
And lots of people are identifying with their employers and their clothing and their music much more than they are with their nations.
Mm.
So the world is really getting two kinds of identities developing, the nationality and the corporate affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
A third kind of trend is the war, or the conflict, I shouldn't call it a war, it's a conflict, between the wealthiest people who are in charge and everybody else. And that gap, as you know, is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are wealthy and important, of course, do things to protect themselves and to favor themselves to the disadvantage of those who are not wealthy and not important.
Mm-hmm.
And those gaps are just growing bigger and bigger and bigger. But that's going to exacerbate the first problems with the poor and the wealthy nations. And then there's the long run versus short run problems, which are in some sense not solvable. That is, do we pursue long-term goals or short-term goals? Do you care about your grandchildren or your children?
Mm.
Or yourself, right?
Mm.
Well, in some sense, there's no answer to that question. Because on the one hand, you say, yeah, I want my grandchildren to have a decent life. But on the other hand, I don't really know what their circumstances are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very poor record of forecasting the future and knowing what we should do now to influence the future.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a major conflict among us about how much do we take out now versus how much do we save for the future,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So these are the big problems that I see.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see is that corporations are these incredibly powerful, successful social forms that could, in fact, do much more good for society than they do. But we don't dare to just give them more power. We have to find ways to change their behavior in ways that make them more inclined to do things that benefit more people.
Mm.
At the same time, corporations are doing much better than governments or national non-governmental organizations in equating these problems. They're doing more to take wealth from the wealthy countries and move it to the poor countries.
Mm.
Because that's the way in which the corporation makes money, is by hiring cheap labor, paying them wages from the wealthy people, right? So it's in fact transferring wealth from the wealthy to the poor. It's in fact, they're in some sense, they're addressing all of these problems. Nations are unable to deal with these problems because they're so protective of themselves. But the corporations cross the national boundaries, and they don't care which country they take the money in. Australian big corporations don't care whether they make the money in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they'd be happy to take it wherever the tax rate is lowest, right?
Mm-hmm.
At one level, the Australians probably think this is reprehensible. But at another level, this is knitting the world together into one system. And I'm somebody who basically believes the world should be one system. That is, that we're all on this thing together, and we'd better find a way to live together.
Hmm. But how do you keep them in check?
The corporations.
Yeah.
That's a very difficult problem. A lot of the talk about so-called corporate governance counts on a thing like a board of directors to control this thing. I believe that's naive, that the managerial hierarchy has much more influence than any other part of it. I don't have all the answers. I'm not going to go out and say I have a bunch of solutions here that I'm going to sell to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I want academics to start thinking about it. All of the ideas that you find today about corporations arose in European universities in the 1800s. All of them. Academia is what produces the ways in which we conceptualize things and imagine how the world could be.
Mm-hmm.
I want professors and students to talk today about how we could make a better world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to provoke people into these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
There is, however, one program that I think is quite good that I'm going to mention on Monday, which is Yale University organizes sessions about 3 times a year in which CEOs of major corporations get together,
mm-hmm.
about 70 of them, together with people from the government, like the Defense Department, the State Department, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about the global problems and what do these mean for us and what should we be doing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all done very much in private. The press are there, but they're sworn that they won't talk about it outside the room.
Yep.
And these people really have sort of knockdown, drag out arguments with each other, partly because of the skill of the guy who runs it.
Mm-hmm.
That is, he confronts them with the evidence and he knows from his conversations beforehand who thinks this way versus that way, and he tries to get them going against each other. So he encourages these CEOs to debate with each other and to confront each other about the issues, right? I think that's a very, very useful activity because it tends to make them think more about what's going to happen for my grandchildren versus my compensation this year, right? It brings these problems back into their lives. And CEOs are much more likely to listen to each other than they are to somebody else.
It's a radical step giving corporations, the big bad corporations, such a role in the public good.
We don't have that choice. They're taking it. Right? I mean, listen, how did corporations get to be powerful like they are? They bribed legislators. They cut politicians in on gravy trains. Right? They do these things. So I can't tell them not to do it or to do it. Right? What we can do, though, is get people to be more aware of these issues and to talk about how could we make corporations more useful to us.
Is there any corporations at the moment you identify as achieving that or working in that area?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, I used to go to these meetings that Yale runs. I would say about one third of the CEOs there really do think they're working for the long run future of the Earth. They really do think, for example, they'll get into a discussion, they'll talk about how could we restructure the societies in South America so that there'd be more middle class,
more market,
fewer poor people, and we don't care whether there are a lot of rich people because they're not a market, as you point out, right? Mm-hmm. The rich people don't count. So mm-hmm. we have to convert the poor people into middle class people or we won't have a market. So that's restructuring the society. Mm. And to me, it's designed to stop, lower the rates of wars. It's designed to cut down on people starving to death. Mm-hmm. It's designed to do a lot of good things on Earth, right?
How do we achieve it? How do we create these good corporations? How can we do it?
Well, the way a corporation got to be the way it is that professors talked about these ideas. For example, they said, you can't hold the owners responsible for the actions of the corporation because a house is not made up just the bricks that it's made up of. The house is a separate entity from the bricks. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a philosophical argument that got embedded in the way in which we think about corporations. It led us to think, well, owners should be separate from corporations. Mm. Corporations are distinct, right? Mm. So when we take them into court, we don't hold the owners personally responsible, do we?
Mm.
No.
Mm.
Well, that's the kind of thinking that produced the corporations we have today. Now, there's another kind of thinking that I don't think came from academia, which is only cash counts. Mm. See, they used to have corporations who would go in to courtrooms and things and say, well, we have a long-range plan that's going to produce a better future. And then a few years later, it turned out they didn't do that. And so then judges started saying, well, we don't no longer believe your promises about what you're going to do for the long-range future.
Mm.
Show us the cash. Mm. Show us what you've got right now on the table. Well, that brought everything back to the present.
Mm.
And so there aren't only professors who are in this game of talking about how do we conceive of the world.
Mm.
And I guess on one hand, all human beings would be cynical about promises from somebody about what he's going to do 10 years from now, right?
Mm, definitely. Well, look, it sounds like a fascinating subject. And for Monday night's lecture, I think we will have a lot of interest in it.